What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here with a brand new episode of the Video Game Bang, and I am so excited that we have a special guest. He is the composer for the hit game. It's already a hit. It's only been out for, what, a week, and it's a hit. Sunset Overdrive. His name is Boris Salchow, and he is hanging out with us at the second half of the show to talk about Sunset Overdrive, composition in general, all sorts of fun stuff. Before that, we have a few news stories, and we have a returning panelist to the show. Hasn't been on the Video Game Bang in quite some time. We're excited to have him back, and it's going to be a fun show. If you want to, if you feel inclined, follow us on Twitter at Video Game Bang, Facebook.com/Video Game Bang Bang. We're all over the internet, people. YouTube.com. We have a couple videos on Nerd Reactor. Check out NerdReactor.com. They're your one-stop shop for all things nerdy news. But without further ado, we have a full show. Stick around after the credits for the extended interview with our friend Boris. It's going into overtime this week, people. What can I say? There's so much to talk about on this week's
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real. I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Whoa, coming in hot. Welcome back to Video Game Bang. I'm your host, Corey Vincent, and we have a good show for you. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a second take.
It's going to be a second take. I'll be honest here, people. I'm not a perfect man, all right? I make mistakes. I put on my bra one boob at a time.
Okay, first of all, I guess, whatever, continue.
You have literally ruined boobs for me.
That is there, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, let's just jump back into it because we've already been recording the show for like 3 hours. You know him. You love him. He's never missed an episode. His name is Aaron Carter.
Perfect attendance, everybody.
Perfect.
How you doing?
Attendance record.
How you doing, ladies? Put your boobs in two at a time, please.
Also, back on the show, he is our resident Marvel expert. He is my childhood friend.
Stephen Gutierrez, everybody.
That's so sweet, Corey. I love you, too.
That's awful. David Ng.
Hey, Gondo, suck it.
David.
You suck it. Hello, everybody. Wow.
Why did that
come
sound
back?
Very rapey? Like,
you.
I'm scared for my life.
You it is.
You remember that.
What? You did this to yourself.
He said you live with that.
And then making his triumphant return to the show, he's been gone for quite some time. He had to go get a job and stuff, and now he's back. Finally, you know him, you tolerate him, Stephen Gutierrez.
You love me. What's up, everybody? I'm stretching as I'm saying hello.
How have you been, Stephen? How's life been after VGB?
Man, I've seen some things.
Been to war?
Such as?
You're really going to ask me that?
You're really going to ask me that? Flashbacks, man.
Jeez.
Yeah, Jesus.
Well. What is it?
PTSD?
PTSD.
I know. I'm just going to be
He walks around with a little dog now.
Wow.
First of all, how dare you talk about pumpkin?
Wow.
Pumpkin last name Spice.
What is the deal with that?
I don't know, but I saw this meme. It said, it was like, how to get a girl on you, and then it showed a picture of a condom. And it said pumpkin spice flavored.
Oh, wow. Genius.
Hilarious.
Genius. White women only, though. White women only.
It's true.
Have you guys had one of these pumpkin spice drinks? Nobody in here?
Nobody? No. I skip right over that shit and wait for Starbucks to get the the peppermint flavored things.
Ew. It's disgusting.
What? Why?
What the hell? Peppermint?
Yeah, I'm a peppermint guy.
Do you have, like, constantly bad breath or something?
It helps with that, yeah.
I wouldn't even admit that in public.
Well,
halitosis.
Bachelorgate still going on strong in my home.
Bachelorgate.
My wife has been gone out of town, leaving the kingdom to myself and only myself. And for those people out there who are single, Aaron Carter, Steven. Well, not so much David.
Not so much. No.
That's so much. Isn't that like an unequivocal no? Like,
but for you guys, poor guys, man. I really understand the struggle more than I ever have. In 1 week, I've learned so much about being a bachelor.
I don't know.
You know nothing about that. Yeah. Yeah, eating out, you know, ordering food every night.
You know nothing.
Jon Snow?
No, I was going to say like Jim Winters or something like that.
Really? Copyright issues, of course.
Exactly. We can't say it that way.
Man, it's a struggle, guys. It's a struggle, right? Am I right, guys?
No, I haven't had one single...
What do you do? Yeah, that's the end of my question. What do you do?
I cook food.
You masturbate live. A lot.
You live, damn it. You live.
There's no life without your counterpart. I mean, I really have I've literally eaten.
Weren't you, before you messed up the recording, you were like, I'm freaking glad my wife's gone.
No, no,
I hope
no,
she stays
not.
In Florida.
No, no.
And now you're trying to be all sweet?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. What were you before her?
What was I before her?
He was nothing.
We got together at 15.
Okay, so what were you at 14?
14, I was relatively happy. I hung out.
Hey, David, what is... Well, look at this girl's boobs.
He put them in one at a time.
Too amazing.
Not so far off, actually, guys.
Every single
What's
day?
Happening in my pants?
So then you just...
David, check this out.
Then you just revert to that 14-year-old kid then.
Basically, and I did revert back to that 14-year-old kid who had no abilities to cook or clean.
There you go.
He called David. David, I don't know how to make dinner.
Just today, I called David and said, hey, David. You want to see some boobs? Come over.
Why does he sound like that? Deal.
His balls didn't drop till 16.
Yeah, okay.
It took a while.
That's terrible.
They dropped one by one.
One ball at a time. That's gross.
I'm just like you guys. My balls drop one at a time.
I put my balls in my pants one ball at a time.
But, yeah, I've been having a nightmare of a time. You know, just the food has been gluttony. I broke my phone at work the other day. It's just been a complete disaster.
You're just a mess.
I am. And, like, I went and, you know, bought the LG G3, right? So it's like a big fancy phone.
Like $600 phone?
Like a fucking $600 phone. I dropped it once at work. Slipped out of my hand, down my leg. I tried to catch it. Popped up. Bam. Broke the glass. Digitizer's broken. It's a brick.
It's a brick?
It's a brick.
Brick house.
Ah, nice, David. Well,
is,
well done,
is.
Guys.
I don't understand
that's why I'm
did.
His best friend.
David?
I have a similar phone that is dated.
I would not call it similar. Yeah,
you need to get rid of that Nokia.
It is rather dated, but brick I have dropped it. I dropped mine yesterday from about a height of 9 feet. No, 9 feet. And not a scratch on it, bad boy. I did drop it from about 18 feet one time.
Onto
at,
what?
At work on hard floor. Have you ever been in a Home
Costco?
Depot?
Yes, yes.
And you know there's hard like...
Why would you not just use the name of the company you actually dropped it in?
Because I don't know if he's ever... To me, I literally... The only time I found out about Lowe's is when I started working there. My
really?
Whole entire life. I didn't
I've
know there was such thing.
This is
yes.
more bachelor stuff.
Yeah.
Because when you like...
I've been to Home Depot...
And you have a house and...
Been to Home Depot countless times.
Okay.
I just didn't know there was a Lowe's. You know,
you also didn't know that they sold fresh chicken at a grocery store.
Also correct.
That's awful.
I know.
Also correct.
Right?
Thawed chicken, you should say. Thawed chicken.
Did you say fresh chicken?
Yeah,
it's fresh because it's never been frozen.
Hey, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
It's farm to table.
No, but I cooked. Yeah, I cooked for the first time. And no, not for the first time, but cooked well for the first time, I should say. And it was delicious.
Wow.
What'd you make?
I call it Carter's Sweet and sticky
you
chicken.
You just threw a that bunch is... of random shit together, didn't you?
No. Oh it's
don't ever invite a girl to your house for Aaron Carter's Sweet and Sticky Chicken.
They'll love it. They will love it. Little soy sauce mixed with brown sugar.
Wow.
Mixed with hot sauce.
Speaking of brown sugar, we got ourselves a guest on this show. Coming in the second half, we have a man named Boris Sauchow.
Spell his name.
I can't.
Exactly.
He is the composer, though, for one of the hottest games on the market right now, and that is Sunset Overdrive on the Xbox One exclusively by Insomniac Games. Steven and I both own this game. I got to play a few hours with David. What are we thinking about this game?
It's fun. It's high energy. Lots of action.
Kind of reminds
colors.
You of Tony Hawk. Music gets you really pumped and ready for action every time it kicks in.
Have you see the game is billed as this huge multiplayer 8-player co-op game. I have yet to play it on multiplayer, but it's holding up relatively well as a single player, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've only played the single player, so I mean, I haven't even scratched the surface of multiplayer. So whenever you want to set that up there, Corey.
Yeah, well, you know, the Xbox, you guys were saying, the Xbox One is on sale, right? At Walmart, there's some crazy deal going on right now. If you're listening to this, go to a Walmart. And if you're on the fence, this should sell you. $380 gets you an Xbox One, Assassin's Creed Unity.
Assassin's Creed Unity.
And Black Flag.
Black Flag.
And a game of your choice.
A game of your choice.
What game would you choose, Corey?
Oh, well, if I didn't own one, Destiny, of course. I've put more hours cumulatively in Destiny than I have any other Xbox One game.
Okay.
And I've enjoyed it. It's not more than just like a time suck, because I love a good old time suck. But this game is different. And there's more to come. I mean, what else can you ask for?
FIFA 15.
Don't tell me yours would be FIFA 15.
In a heartbeat.
Oh, it's so disappointing.
Heartbeat. Why?
I don't even care if you get an Xbox.
Why?
It's okay, though, because Unity could be our multiplayer game.
Thank you. Unity is 4 players co-op. Yeah, Booyakasha.
But it's not Destiny.
I know. It's better. It's a good game.
Sunset Overdrive is 8 players.
What would your game be, David?
I don't know. I think
this is a relevant question since you do not have one yet. So this might actually happen, right? Are you going to get one?
I don't know if this would push me over the edge, but if I was debating it, I would have to think either Call of Duty or Destiny.
Really? You would consider Call of Duty?
I would consider Call of Duty because they've added a bunch of different features. It's not just like sprinting down the street and shooting around the corner anymore.
Yeah, it is.
It's sprinting down a street with an exosuit.
I watched the stream. And that's exactly what it was.
I need to watch some gameplay then for the multiplayer.
I got the game.
But if they
have the parkour
and everything, then I'd be interested.
Wait, you have Call of Duty?
Yeah, I got Call of Duty. I played the first mission of it. I want to pace it out because I heard from everything I saw at E3, it got me pumped to play the campaign, but then, like, just before it comes out, you hear the campaign's, like, what, 5 hours or something? Pretty short. So I want to space it out. I'm going to do, like, a mission a day.
I see what you did. Space it out. Kevin Spacey.
That is a far stretch to get that.
Thank you for overestimating my...
That's extremely overestimating.
See what you did there.
But I really want to pace myself. Space myself. Yeah, I know I'm going to keep doing it. Fuck it. And then the first mission did not disappoint. It was, by Call of Duty standards, a damn good, like, introductory mission. Like, okay, we got double jumps now. Just like you did it in Titanfall. Double press, you know, and then you go through and do all the stuff. But then the cinematic at the end was awesome. And I think this is spoiled already.
The end of the campaign or the end of the mission?
The end of the first mission.
Oh, because I figured it'd be about the same.
Pretty much. Yeah, it will. But what happens is, you know, your dude joins the military because of his buddy. And so you guys end up in the same platoon, and you guys we're in South Korea, and you have to destroy some fancy...
He gets sniped in the head, doesn't he?
No, close.
Arm blown off.
Yes! How'd you know?
It's wild guess. It's Call of Duty. It's the same thing that happens every Call of Duty. Somebody either gets blown up, or a body part blown off.
Well, he's trying to plant the explosives, and he gets his arm trapped in the door, and you guys both try and open it, but it's a time thing, so he's about to die.
Oh, did they halo it? And
then he's like, time slows down, and he gives you these words of wisdom real quick, and then you...
So wait a minute, your buddy?
Yeah, your buddy.
So you guys are the same age?
Yeah.
And he gives you words of wisdom.
Oh, goddamn, man. Right when I was about to answer Aaron's very enlightening question.
Wow.
Oh, man. Oh, every time it gets me. I just, my heart skips a beat.
It's always at 10 minutes.
All right, so
I've timed it.
I've put a science behind this.
I'll just continue since we are talking about what we've been playing.
Yeah, you've been playing.
So, you know, he gives you these words of wisdom. You can get wisdom from someone your own age.
In like 4 seconds when a bomb's about to blow up.
Yeah.
Besides deleting my browser history. Push off the plane. That's it.
Delete my browser history.
And then boom.
Bucky screams to Cap.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, he says something like follow your dreams or something stupid like
that. I banged your mom. Yeah. Ah.
And then you fall off and then he explodes and like some shrapnel hits you. Like the door blows off and hits you and like, you know, it's all first person. And the graphics on this are beautiful. It is way above any Call of Duty.
Okay.
Like just the facial stuff and then the lighting, everything is so crisp. And you know, so you're in first person getting blown back and you're like all bloody and stuff. You're looking at yourself. Your arm is all like twisted the other way. And then your commander dude comes up and starts pulling you like to safety and your arm stays there.
And, they're like, grab it.
No.
Put it on some ice, bro. What's going on?
That didn't happen. That didn't happen, but it was.
Nobody has ice in the front lines.
Oh, my gosh.
It was cool to see, though, because I was like, oh, man, shit, my arm is jacked up. And then when they're pulling you away, you're seeing, like, your blood, you know, trail, and then your arm just sitting there. It wasn't twitching or nothing.
Yeah. That would your arm just going, throwing the peace sign.
Stuck with the middle finger up in the air. Yeah. You abandoned me.
So I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm glad I have the game. And really, playing through after not playing Call of Duty for such a long time, and maybe they just nailed it on the next gen, it does feel so smooth. Like, yeah, the movement, the shooting, everything feels crisp. It's like, this is why Call of Duty's on the top.
I don't know. I watched, like I said, I watched the Twitch player play the multiplayer, and it just looked like a fast-paced Modern Warfare 2. And I was like, when you were talking about, I don't want it to be just turn around the corner, shoot type of stuff. He played a level that was kind of like that, where he was just rolling through stuff, turn corner, boom, and he was really good. And then he got to a level that was kind of more wide open. And I was like, okay, I want to see how he plays in this one. And he was just getting dropped left and right. And then he rage quit.
He did?
Yeah. He just stopped playing the game. Or he went or got into another match.
Was he just trying to run and gun too much? Or is this like he a was running where and you got to like crawl?
No, it wasn't a run and gun. He was playing multiplayer.
Oh, this is multiplayer.
Yeah, so he went from a condensed map to a wide open map. Oh, and in the wide open map, his tactics of I'm quicker than you on the Twitch finger, you know, or whatever, couldn't work because that means I'm far away from you, I can pop you. So he quit. And I was like, this is no.
That might be one of the only guys out there currently that is playing that got Call of Duty and is playing it just for the campaign. Because I'm really not looking for a multiplayer.
You spent $60 for 5 hours?
Maybe.
Oh, that's right. But
you know,
see,
but we've had that debate too. Like, really, $60 for 5 hours? If it's really five really good replayable hours, maybe.
Are you going to replay the story?
Maybe.
You're not. You're not going to replay the story. Not.
You don't know that.
I know you.
You guys don't
Nobody
know that.
Nobody is going to replay
you don't
that
know
story.
That, I mean,
the creators.
Don't know that.
You want to see some boobs?
The people that
want to see my boobs
tested that game don't even replay the game story, and they have to.
Oh man,
contractually.
After the show, we'll go down there.
That's all they can play for a year.
Yeah.
We'll run a little demo, and I'll let you guys see because it just feels so slick. The controls.
But you haven't played
slick.
Online yet.
No, I'm not. I will, but I'm not looking forward.
That's
to
like
it.
The first thing everybody does.
Yeah,
I'm not looking forward.
I think
to it.
You bought a game for the wrong reasons.
After Black Ops 2, what was there? What was the next game after Black Ops
2? Was Ghost.
Oh, Ghost. Okay, so they didn't play a full like sit down and play Ghost. But I think when Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 came out, I went straight to the multiplayer. Didn't do single player. Black Ops 2, straight to the multiplayer. Didn't do single player until later.
Yeah, I mean, usually that was my
I don't think I finished
circuit
the campaign
too, but I got so burnt out on the multiplayer. And people, I don't know, maybe it's just the level of skill has just gone up so much that...
You're saying you're bad at video games
yeah,
now?
Maybe I'm just bad at it and I just don't want to learn. Like it's some games,
you're rusty, man.
Some games are good to get back into, like, I don't know, like League. It felt like getting your ass kicked was like the crucible of getting better, but in Call of Duty, it just doesn't feel fun.
Did it?
Yeah.
That's what that felt like in League to
yeah.
you? Yeah. It just felt like I kept losing.
Yeah, well.
It didn't feel like it was like, because I got a little better at League. I'm not going to be like, oh, I've got this down, I've mastered it, because I literally just played and got smashed again after so long.
And your brother showed you up.
My little brother, he's 13 years old.
So is that what you're playing?
Yeah,
I'm done. I'm done. Let's move on.
Yes, I'm playing. I played League of Legends with my little brother because I was like, let me get into some games that he's into. I'm always.
And you played together?
Yes, we played together.
Does he have his own machine now?
Yeah, he has his own rig. And so I was like, you know, that's enough of me. You know, hey, let's go play soccer. You know, getting him into my stuff. Let me get into his stuff. So I was like, let's go on League. So when I log on and everything, and he, you know, adds me as a friend. I see level 30 silver, and I'm like,
"Wow,
what the hell is that? Like, when did you turn Super Saiyan on me all of a sudden in the time chamber when we were training together? Yeah. What the hell?" And so we get in there. He, you know, it's the same old call your role before,
yeah,
you know, right?
Nothing's changed.
Really. I didn't call anything because I'm like, I'll just do whatever. You know, I'm just playing with my brother. He didn't get his top because he is a top lane Yasuo.
Just like his old man.
Just like his older brother. I don't think his old man plays League of Legends.
Aaron, there's something we haven't told you.
And, the
results came back. You are
terrible. Yeah. He
even looks like you.
So he goes down to bottom lane with me.
It's because they're related. Right? I couldn't hold that back.
That's terrible. He goes to the bottom lane with me, and he plays what's the black guy? Lucian. Yes, he plays Lucian. I'm Braum, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. We're teaming up, and you know we're gonna go and do this. And I'm dying left and right, but he's killing. He is slaughtering these people.
Wow.
Like just murking the floor with all these people. And I'm like, crap, I'm doing so bad. I'm just like, and I'm like, wait a minute, am I doing good enough? Because like he was at 9-1 at one point, but I was at 0-8 and I know I was like 0-5-8. And so I was like, well, are those assists? Because, you know, I got you your, I was helping you out the whole time.
He's
right?
Like, that's yeah, the... Aaron, you did such a good job helping
but,
me out.
So he went positive. Of course, I went extremely negative.
He reported you for feeding. He reported you for feeding.
And as soon as the game was over, because we lost, because they just pushed our whole side the whole time. He was nothing he could do. You know, I was definitely dragging everybody down. I went up to him and I was like, this is why I don't play this stupid game. We're playing Smite next time.
Isn't it weird when younger family members get better than you? Like, especially when you're the one that kind of shaped them into games.
It's kind of weird because I remember playing Resident Evil 4 and he was a baby, like in diapers, sitting and watching me play this game. Not scared of the zombies, nothing that was going on. He was sitting and he was just watching this. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years later or so, he's playing zombie mode in the Call of Duty franchise with
and Aaron's sitting in diapers watching him play.
and he's mopping up the floor. We played with him before, actually.
I think we played
Black Ops zombie modes with him before. And it to me it was satisfying because it was somebody I didn't have to worry about. I didn't have to sit there and be like, okay, this is what you do. He picked up the sticks and he knew where to go and, like, you know, how to survive. I didn't have to run and pick him up every single time. So it was just like that, I think, was my big brother proud moment.
He wasn't a hindrance?
And yeah, he wasn't. He was a helper more than he was a hindrance.
My cousin beat me in a game finally for the first time when he was, like, I don't know, 16 or 17. And it was 2K. I can't remember which one it was, but it was a humbling experience.
2K15.
I hadn't played for a while. It was 2K15. I hadn't played for a while, but he was like obsessed. You know, he's huge into basketball. Uh-huh. We get together. I'm like, oh, I'll just spank him. You know, Zydrunas Ilgauskas all day.
I think he's got the.
No idea who that is.
I think they've got the advantage because like you have a job. You have other responsibilities.
True. But I remember the look on his face when he beat me.
Wow.
Like he was just as shocked as I was. And the final bell went, and he, you know, final buzzer hit.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's like beat me by like a sizable amount.
Wow.
And
I won't say the number.
Yeah,
but
I won't say the number.
12 to 82.
How about you all write it down on a piece of paper?
Wow.
Pass it over to me. Wow. So, but he, you know, he had that like he's smiling but trying to hold it back and like console me, like like he did something
wrong. Wow.
And it was you know, he left that day, and I like crammed.
Like,
I was
it's
like,
okay.
No.
Cousin Corey, you're just not good enough.
Yeah, that's all right.
You're just an old man now. It's okay.
Come
at me
when you're silver.
Time to retire, man.
30 silver.
That's what it felt like. But still, 9 times out of 10, any other game will whoop his ass. David, what you been playing?
I've been playing a little Smite here and there.
There it is.
Wow.
There it is.
For once, it's not Aaron.
Well, I know, which is weird. Yeah.
I don't play by myself. I only play when I get you guys online.
But I didn't play that other day when you and Jerry were playing.
Yeah, I was playing with Jerry.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Creepy Jerry, if you guys are fans of the show.
Yeah.
And that's it? Just Smite?
He's in it,
yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Smite is awesome, people.
You played a little bit of Sunset Overdrive downstairs.
Do it.
Right? I did play a few minutes of Sunset Overdrive today.
Well, you played hours with me the other
time. That was last week, though.
Yeah. Still.
It wasn't Sunset Overdrive.
It's terrible.
They just played hours together.
They just look at some boobs.
Get some Legos out, guys. Come on. The good old days.
Steven Gutierrez, you've been playing a lot, right?
Yeah, because I haven't been invited to the show in a while.
It's not that you haven't been invited.
Even Warren's video game thing.
You left on your own accord. That's the thing.
You're talking about my own accord.
You told me we had a meeting.
You said, hey, don't sleep with my wife anymore. And then you threw me out of your house.
Wow.
And I was like.
And now she moved out, clearly.
She initiated it. I mean, come on. Better your friends than somebody random.
So this is why Steven left the show the first time.
No, it's not. No, I was on the weekend bang, and then I had to get Aaron's views up. So
Wow. Okay.
And then I was like, you know what? He should be, you know, sufficient enough with views. So I'm going to go help Corey because his views dipped.
That's awful.
So,
yeah. And there you have it, everybody.
So what have you been playing, Steven? God damn it.
Sunset Overdrive. I've been playing that a lot, actually. I stayed up really late one night when I had to go to work the next day.
How far are you in the campaign?
I made it to the, I guess, samurai.
Pizza cats?
No. What are they? Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts?
You're farther than me then. I just barely got through helping like the first group of nerd people, like the social media.
Well, yeah, you're right, because you're in the same area that they're in.
Okay.
So you're almost there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's.
Do you think that's that, do you identify with the humor?
Like, yeah,
are you rolling out of your seat?
I'm actually surprised. Like, did you play the mission where it's like Breaking Bad?
Uh-uh.
You haven't played that? Oh, it's a side mission.
Okay,
yeah,
that's probably why.
Like, the guy, he's making vodka, quote-unquote, and, like, he has barrels that say blue, and, like, there's a bunch of references. The character looks like Jesse, and then you hear him, like, when you're killing enemies, he's like, yeah, take that, bitch. And
he's like, so you probably missed that type of comedy because you said you didn't feel the comedy as much, right?
You know, the more it's growing on me. The beginning was like when they're trying to do all the explanations of things and the tutorials. It was a little heavy. It was a little much. But as the game's going on, I'm finding the charm.
Like a parasite. It's growing on you.
Like a parasite.
It's infecting you.
That's terrible.
You now have herpes.
As we mentioned, after the break here, we're going to have an awesome guest, Boris Salchow, and he is actually the composer from Sunset Overdrive. So we're going to get way more information, and we'll be talking about Sunset Overdrive a lot. That will be the theme. But beforehand, we got some news stories that I want to get to. There's not very many.
Two, to be exact.
Well, because, I like to stay away from numbers. But the first one is Dragon Age Inquisition started out as a multiplayer-only game.
And I'm a little upset.
You want it to be multiplayer only.
Dragon Age should have been multiplayer since...
Oh, the dawn of time.
Well, they have, they have multiplayer mode in the new one.
Yeah, they do, but I've seen it, and it's not... I don't understand. There's a simple concept to getting something right, and it seems like everybody that wants to try something new with multiplayer says, let's throw out what's good and decent, and let's try to make something new. It's like saying, hey... Bread isn't fine. Let's redo it.
Super bread.
Yeah, like, I don't understand.
It's soft and crunchy.
So I've seen what they've done. They've done, like, these little chopped up missions for multiplayer, and they throw you in there. Really? You have an open, giant world that you're going to show us in single player, and then you're just going to deny the multiplayer.
You're just going to be like, you know what? Scrap all that.
Yeah. Forget everything we did so far.
Scrap all that, and... Now you get this.
Yeah, like that
linear,
makes no sense.
Small world.
Here's the thing. Grand Theft Auto. They gave you this whole big Grand Theft Auto 5. They gave you this whole big world and said, "Hey, here it is, single player." Then they're like, "Here's multiplayer. Here's the whole exact same world, but here's your friends with it and missions with it."
You know, they probably did that better than anybody, but I think with Dragon Age specifically, they have such a core game. And that's got way more RPG aspects and elements to it that I don't think could make sense.
What? You have lost it. We've done this 17 shows ago.
Here we go. Yeah, I know we have. But still, like in a game that's based around your party system and who's in your party, like do you want a second player?
Why can't your friends be one of your party members?
Yes.
Okay.
Why?
You invite us.
We're in your game.
You're making the decisions. We're just your party, though.
But we're fighting
one of those
you.
Tactical games where I enjoy being more of the tactician of my
so
entire team.
So you can't say, hey, Aaron,
I don't want
use,
you in my game.
Okay, so then you
thunder,
don't go into multiplayer.
Or lightning.
Same thing with Grand Theft Auto. I don't want you guys in my biker gang or whatever. I want to roll around the city doing my own stuff.
Even in Grand Theft Auto, they didn't let your friends come in and do story missions for you.
Also, if you wanted to just do that online type of thing, you could literally just go online in a private match if you wanted to.
I want a segue. Grand Theft Auto's first-person mode.
Two-wheel?
Yes.
Does that look fucking sweet?
It's awesome. Yeah. And I like how they paid attention to detail and went into, you know, like, they didn't just say, hey, we're moving the camera behind his head or, you know, in his head. We're going iron sight. We're first going.
Person.
Yeah,
is it the first person game? Straight first person, or can you switch?
You can switch back and forth
anytime.
Like, when you go to cover, you could set settings to where when you go to cover, it pops out to like third
Gears
person,
of War
Gears
type of
War
thing.
Style.
Oh, that's yeah. Oh my,
yeah, I actually just beat Grand Theft Auto today.
Terrible.
Like literally an hour or two.
Welcome to 2015.
Yeah,
I'm going to trade that in for the Xbox One version. I think I'm gonna pick it up.
Yeah, I'm going to play through the entire campaign, I think, first-person mode.
It looks like the world is humongous in first-person.
The details and the graphics are so good. Oh, my gosh.
That may be the... I might, like, if that would be the third game, probably.
Over FIFA?
Actually, yeah.
Okay. How do you think it's going to change the sleeping with a prostitute?
Oh, it's going to strip club. Yeah.
When she comes into the car?
Yeah.
And the strip club thing.
Because everything is detailed inside the car as well. Like they showed, you know, dashboard and all that type of
stuff. All right, you freaks out there. Now I know why you'd probably just sold the game to a lot of people.
A lot of people.
You're welcome. Yeah. And now the ratings just shot up 10%.
And now the ratings are up 10%.
Oh, man. But back to Dragon Age Inquisition. At its roots, it's a role-playing game. It's a multiplayer experience. Sitting at a table with your friends and playing a pen and paper experience. So
you sound so bored.
Yeah.
Well, because look, just what you just said there, from that one bullet point, that's where RPG started. Pen and paper with your friends at a table. They have taken that out of video games. RPGs are now kind of seen on majority as a single player experience.
Yeah.
Well, if they started with multiplayer, how the hell did we get away from that?
November 18th.
Boom.
Exactly. This is coming
just
out.
Blew your mind.
November 18th. We
drop
will
the mic. That's
you
what
just
I just
drop
did.
Drop this phone. If it broke, I will be so happy in a way.
You'd probably throw this out the window.
I don't wish that pain. When I saw the phone was cracked, I don't want to wish that pain and feeling on anybody. You're not my worst enemy. It's such a heartbreaking moment.
You dropped to his knees.
I bought the replacement parts. No! I went and bought an otter case. It's going to be...
An otter case?
All right, people. We got our interview coming up after this break with Boris Salchow from... he's on the game Sunset Overdrive, so stick around. It's gonna be awesome.
Stick around, guys.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
And you're listening to the Video Game Bang, which sounds a lot dirtier than it is.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
Hey, what's up, dudes? This is Ace from Strife. Hey, head on over to Strife.com, grab yourself a beta key for some of our closed testing. And you know what? Tell them Ace sent you. And while you're at it, listen to the Video Game Bang podcast. Peace.
This is Janice Davis, author of Holder's Dominion, and you're listening to Video Game Bang with superstar, incredibly charming hosts.
Hello, Boris.
How are you doing?
Good. How's it going, man?
All good here. Where are you?
Wow, that's a way to start a conversation. That's,
I know.
That's scary.
I know.
No, we're in Sacramento, California.
Awesome.
Where are you from?
What did I just hear about Sacramento?
Probably good things.
Yes. Hey, how are you? I was just talking about Sacramento. Can't get it together. I'm in LA right now. I'm from Germany originally.
Oh, but, wow.
Congratulations on the World Cup.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I did follow it.
You know, I want to say congratulations on the success of Commissarian Fleming und der Mord vor Ver Camera Fleming 2.
Okay. That was pretty impressive.
Oh, we were just, when we do our research, we're going through, and at the beginning of your career, I was like, wow, this is all in a different language.
Yes, sorry about that. But most of those things are a while ago now.
Why are you apologizing? Is this anti-American stuff or what do we got?
No. Okay. Just that's a different language. That's hard to pronounce. Has like funny noises in it, like C, like and sh and ooh and stuff. That's hard to. Now I'm here for like 10 years or so, and I'm starting to forget to speak that old language over there. I'm kidding.
Oh really?
Not really. A little bit. Depends on how many beers I had, actually.
Well, we can jump into the interview, or whenever you're ready. I got the levels looking fly.
Cool. I'm ready to go, actually.
All right. And then how do I want to, I don't want to butcher your last name because I do that all the time. So.
You see, that's another example.
Yeah. So I'm assuming if I was just saying this as a generic old white guy, I'd say Sal yeah. Chow. But what is it?
That's actually totally fine. That's how I now start using it as well. I think one day I'm going to change it to Miller or something, or Smith or so. Although it's a nice piece of conversation. So the proper thing that I don't want you to do, but you know, just for the heck out of it, is they use one of these like weird noises. The CH is so it's actually Sal Hyo.
Sal Hyo,
yeah. But you can totally do the Sal Chow. That's, you know, that's what I use.
All right, cool. You must be busy. Sunset Overdrive is turning into what do we call this? It's a commercial success, or
yeah,
you can call it commercial. You can slap that on there.
Aaron and I were playing. We didn't get to play it actually, but at E3, it seemed like this is the game that everybody was talking about, and finally, it's out, and like everybody has it. So how does it
I know
feel?
That's what I just wanted to say. If you know financial success or not, that we will see that right now, but to me the amazing thing about this game was the months, like the past 6 or 9 months on like E3 or I went to PAX Prime in Seattle or so, and the buzz about that game was just impressive. It was like fun. Everyone was talking about it. Like after E3, I live in LA, so after the days after E3, I saw people with Sunset Overdrive t-shirts like at my gym and on the street and stuff like that.
Do you have to go up to every single one of them and be like, hey, you know the music in that game?
It's all me.
Nope, I thought about it, but you know, I'm European, I'm like quiet.
Oh wow.
Of course, I took photos and put them on Instagram, but
nice.
I'm kidding.
Oh, so you snuck up on people in the gym?
I know.
So where did you draw inspiration? Because it's not like a composition, and it doesn't seem like it from the surface of, like, when you hear about, like, Halo or something, it's something very stringy or theatrical. And then, but with Sunset Overdrive, it's a game with so much personality, and it's kind of in your face, and it's how did you take to that style of music? It's like a punk style, right?
Totally. Actually, it's yes. So it's very, very different than any other zombie game or so I know, by being not serious, you know. So it's like an apocalyptic setting, and you have zombies, and I think there's no, in all the music I wrote, there's no scary music in it.
Yeah.
Funny enough, so because the game is just like way over the top, everything is like high energy and fun music wise so my main thing was like the narrative part, you know, all the cinematics where they do the storytelling. And when I started on that, we had no idea what Insomniac, the developer, what they knew is they wanted to license a lot of like punk and post-punk music for the gameplay. Yeah, they were very specific about the exact style of punk. So yeah. It's not just any punk. And then the storytelling elements, the in the cinematics, was we kind of had an idea. Yeah, okay, so we have lots of like guitar, drums and bass in the gameplay. How are we going to do storytelling? And first, we had to try out a lot of things. And in the end, we are all over the place.
Yeah.
I never had a project like that before, I have to say, where there's maybe half of the music is a recurring style, which I would call a post-punk soundtrack score. Thing.
Yeah, it could be compared to like the. Right? It seems like it would be an awesome like homage to like classic punk, because it's not like trash punk, but it's more like Ramones era.
Yeah, but that's where it starts. So the classic punk actually is good, but then it felt a lot better if you're a little more like contemporary, like now, not you know the originals. 70s or 80s punk, but you have like bands that are where you know the guys in the band are playing right now, and they're like 20 years old, and they're doing like weird stuff, and they're actually not using like amplifiers with tubes anymore. They use like iPad amp simulator things,
which is so not punk.
So it's that's why it's post-punk.
Punk. Yeah.
Right. So and on so for me this was like really actually super cool because it was everything was just like out of the box. I think there's not a lot of things inside the box on this one. And some things were tricky, like how do you like, you know, write score the yeah, punk music is very I don't want to say limited because that's, you know, I like punk and I don't want to say
we all love punk, but I mean that's like the first thing we all learn when we get into music really, because it's all three chords and it's playing chords. Really as fast as you can.
Exactly. And also like just energy wise, it's either on or off. Yep. You know? And the reason why you mentioned strings before when you usually write like music for a movie or a game or so, like if you use an orchestra, you have 1 million little steps in between quiet and loud, for example.
Yeah.
But with an amplified guitar, you don't have it. You know, it's on or off.
So 0 to 11.
Zero, yeah, and it's 0 or 11.
Yeah. You know,
there's no 3 or 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And that is like while you're playing, that is one thing. So you can just like go for it. But when you do storytelling, you have people like in a dialogue or so, and you want to, you know, like score it sometimes does, like someone says something and then you want to highlight it or so, or the mood slowly changes and that's cinematic. How are you going to do that with like 3 instruments and when you only have 3 chords?
Yeah.
So that was kind of tricky on this one.
So what did you do to deal with that?
Oh man, a lot of tricks. You do a lot through specific guitar sounds, you know, like okay, on this one it's, you know, it's a little less or differently like messed up or amplified. Then you suddenly I'm like, okay, you know what, let's get some guitar feedback and create samples out of the feedback. Maybe we can play something with the recorded feedback of a guitar. So you start you know, just like playing around with things.
How was your experience with Insomniac this time around different than past work you've done with, like, you did Resistance 2, 3, and the other game you did was Fuse? Like
Ratchet & Clank, A Crack in Time. All of these games that you mentioned are typical in the sense, even though, like, stylistically diverse, but all of them have themes or motives or, you know, or, like, a key signature or so to it. And then usually the score uses that throughout the game, and that's one thing. The other thing too, this is from all of these games, this is an open world one. The others were had the classic campaign modes to it. So with a campaign mode, I, you know, because I did a lot of TV and do movies still and so on, so I, when I write music for a campaign mode in a game, I really approach it like a movie. So I'm like, okay, so this is the whatever the main theme or the melody for the good guy, that's the one for the bad guy. And before I get started, I try to understand the whole story. So, okay, we start like this and everyone thinks, you know, this will happen. And halfway through this happens. And I, you know, I have like big arcs. I'm thinking in arches all the time. On this one, because it's open world and so many different characters and you don't know what the player will do first or last or so, there's no thematic anything in it. Because we don't know what happens first or last or so. So that's probably the biggest difference, which also means with the, you know, with back to the narrative, each cinematic, I look at it, I get a video and I, you know, grab the phone. And I call Insomniac. I'm like, so who are those weird people in this cinematic here? What's the role they play? Like, and, you know, are they going to be important or not? And there's no a lot less clear answers on those things just because this game has a completely different storytelling than any of the campaign games. And that's, I think, the biggest difference.
So they just basically let you kind of express yourself throughout all that when they just give you that information on the characters and stuff?
Well, so that is... yes and no, but there's a lot of, you know, usually on a classic game, you spend a lot of time at the beginning to find the right instrumentation, the right mood, the right main melodies, and so on. Once that is defined, and that's a lot of back and forth usually, and once that is defined, you go into like, you know, the main story and apply those items that you have defined. Here, every 3 days I would get a new cinematic and you kind of start from scratch because there's, you know, people you have not seen before. And the last one you did was like punk music. And then suddenly we have Buzz Osborne finishing up a music, the guy from the Melvins, finishing up a music performance in the video game. And then he grabs an umbrella. And I don't know if you know who Mary Poppins is, like this old, yeah, like this cartoon. And he just like flies up into the sky. And then we're like, all right. So we have like a metal post alternative guy in a game that is mostly punk. But he looks like Mary Poppins and flies up into the sky. So, what, you know, what's the music we're going to do in this one? And so there was a lot of back and forth talking about things, but also trying out different things. Insomniac, in this case, they had a really good like cinematic team where someone was trying existing music on it, like finding temp tracks where they already, you know, tried it out, because there were cinematics where they tried whatever, like a classical piece, and it ended up being a glam, medieval glam heavy metal, wow, cue on it, right? Uh-huh. So who would know? So, but you sometimes you find these things only by trying out all kinds of weird stuff.
That seems like it would be an awesome project to be on. Like, we've talked with a lot of other composers on here, and they're fairly low key. Yeah. Clint Barton is one guy we talked to who did Titanfall, and he's talking about the intricacy, yeah, of working with these brilliant musicians and strings and going in and doing it. I think he worked at Abbey Road,
yeah,
to do his. Would you, in your perfect scenario, would you rather be doing something like extremely theatrical and in the finest studios in the world, or would you rather be working with like a smaller project that's more fun, kind of off the wall, but with less?
I have to be honest in that sense that, you know, in the last 5 years, I did a lot of orchestral and symphonic stuff. I did like four or five or so of like big orchestral ones back to back. I did right after Resistance 3, which I did at Abbey Road as well. I did a big like German documentary with big orchestra, which, by the way, keeps being performed. They show the movie and the orchestra is playing my music to it and stuff like that.
Wow, nice.
But I do have a dark past. I did spend a few years with a guitar around my neck. And so this game was really, I have to say, refreshing. It was actually, I had a lot of fun, because when you, I love working with orchestra. I love working with the super high-end professional guys that you need for that, like orchestrators and so on. And the engineers, everyone is like super high-end. But I totally enjoyed suddenly being here working on guitar-based pieces where the language is suddenly different. You're sitting here with two guys, three guys that have like guitars around their neck, and they don't even read music. That's or even awesome. If they do, and I've worked with them on you know, like high art projects before. After an hour of dealing with this kind of music, you're not talking about like, let's do like 4 into bar 55 anymore. You're like, let's do it again from where it goes down. where it goes down to A or so. Like, you go back to that language that you used to use when you were like 17 and you were just like making lots of noise.
Yeah, exactly.
And honestly, that was actually really, really refreshing. I think the best thing is to have both. For sure, I want to be back at Abbey Road or you know, Berlin or so and record with big orchestra. Of course, I love that. Thank God I did all of these things in my life. You know, when I was young, I did like I spent a lot of time playing in like whatever rock punk bands, but I also had a whole phase where I just did electronic music just because I loved it. And then I can do the orchestral stuff, and I don't know, the more I can do a little bit of all of that, the happier I am, I have to say.
I've always compared the music and the feel of this game to Tony Hawk Pro Skater, which for gamers was, yeah, like a legendary soundtrack. Basically, it had some awesome, yes, yes, licensed music. Did you take any inspiration, like, because it is kind of like a skateboarding game, but then it's mixed with like a shooter game like Gears of War,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Did you take any what bands or groups or songs specifically did you use to influence you in the choices you guys made?
That is really again, same answer almost like earlier, that is different with every single 30 seconds of music I delivered for this game. So there were, you know, like the Mary Poppins moment or the glam rock. There was I made medieval music for, there's a whole group of people in that game that got a whole like treat by getting like medieval music. So I had people here playing instruments like krumhorn and stuff like that, you know, like from 500 years ago, doing weird stuff. And obviously for those, I had a different influence. I looked at different, you know, bands or masters or whatever you want to call it. Then when I had to do the glam heavy metal piece or so. So that's, it's every day I had to research something else, which was also interesting because I realized there's a lot of stuff I wasn't aware that it does exist. So I learned a lot on this project.
You like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, are you much of a gamer yourself?
To be honest, not so much anymore because I don't know. I mean, I just, I've, you know, work and life.
Yeah, it all gets in the way.
Have done their thing, unfortunately. In the beginning, I was shy about that a little bit. You know, like I work a lot with Insomniac. And in the beginning, I was really shy about like coming out that I don't really play. Now they know that. So when I'm in the room with them, they play. I watch them play and I can concentrate.
I was going to say, if you're watching, while you're watching other people's games, at least, have you ever like thought like, oh man, I would think of a, you know, a really good track for this other type of game. Now, you know, not, I've seen you work with Insomniac, like, you know, a lot, but like any other company, you look at their sounds and you're like, I kind of like it if it maybe sound like that. And every like just compose course, random stuff.
Of course, but we always have that. I also watch movies and say, hey, you know, that was really good. And sometimes I watch a movie and say, you know what, I would love to do that and maybe I can do even better. I think that's always the case, you know. And then there's always projects that nail something and you're just in awe. And yes, of course, sometimes you do think you could improve.
Do you think that not being a gamer or playing games a lot, do you see that as an advantage in some ways, or do you think it gives you a little bit of disadvantage to other people?
I think there was a time when, I don't know, because I used to play, so I know what it feels like. You know, it's not that I'm a total, that I never had, you know, a controller in my hand or so, but it's been quite a few years. And I don't know. I also hear more and more that the game developers also realize the composers in their field. Let me put in other words. I think music has really evolved in video games. Obviously, you guys know that compared to like 20 years ago when it was a completely different kind of music than what you would hear in, let's say, movies or out there. And now you want all that quality. You want people who deal with, you know, with a big orchestra and the setup. Like even this project was not a big orchestra. I had like I think it was 15 people helping me on this project, like instrumentalists, like drummers, like guitarists, like the Krumhorn guys, fiddle players, tambourine players, percussionists, and all that kind of stuff, and to deliver on time, you know, to deliver on time a crazy amount of music that goes all over the place, be it like 80 players in the orchestra, or you have 15 players that record at different places with different studios, but you know, the piece has to sound like it was recorded in one place and all of them together, requires a lot of knowledge. And I think that times have changed a little bit in the sense that the video game developers have understood, okay, we need real professionals. It's more important that whoever makes the music is a total music pro. He, you know, he's super talented in writing music and can operate in that, whatever you need to finish on a deadline. Uh-huh. It's more important than him being a gamer. That was a long detour, right? To get back to that point. But I think that I hear a little bit from friends of mine who are audio directors. So they said that these days for them, it's more important because you have like great audio directors that make sure that the creative part is right, and then the musicians you hire, they just need to be really good at making music.
So have you already talked to Insomniac? Are you signed on for Sunset Overdrive 2?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, the music in this game really does set it apart. I mean, there's a lot of things in this game that set it apart, which I think it was like the gaming climate definitely needed something like this. It's a brand new intellectual totally property. Agree. It's got its own unique look. It's got its own unique sound.
Yes. And I also, you know, I'm super happy for Insomniac because they really did something that they are, that's kind of their core competency. That's what they're good at, because mm-hmm. they have this whole Ratchet and Clank history, for example. So this game is just like, it will be one of the most typical Insomniac games ever done, you know.
Well, his name is Boris Salchow, and you can hear his beautiful work in the game Sunset Overdrive, which is all over the Xbox One, and all of your friends probably already have it. So if you don't have it right now, you are the loser. Boris, where can people find you on social media and hear some more of your work?
The usual suspect. So I'm also old school. I have an actual website, borissalchow.com. Then you find me on Facebook and on SoundCloud, and that's kind of it.
You don't have the Twitter?
No, you know what? No.
I'm staying out of that world.
SoundCloud is my audio Twitter.
Yeah, nice.
And do you have a MySpace still?
Wow.
No, that I gave up. Like, I think when Facebook showed up, I think it took maybe a year, and then my MySpace kind of
disappeared with everybody else's.
Died a slow death.
Yeah.
It's not in good shape. I actually think it's not there anymore. Do people still go to MySpace?
I don't know if they go there, but it is a lot more music oriented now.
I went there today just because I had a band when I was in, you know, high school, and I went back to see if the page still existed, and sure enough, it was there with my stupid little flyers that we created in MS Paint.
Wow.
You see? Okay. If you update that, I might consider going putting up a MySpace site.
All right, Boris, thank you so much for your time.
Cool. Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for being on it.
Wow, what a stand-up gentleman.
He wasn't sitting down the whole time?
I don't know. But he, man, that was awesome. You know, it's always awesome to talk to someone who's like in this phase of the development. You know, he's put
still
in
blinded by the lights.
Yeah, he's put in all this. Well, no, not necessarily
blinded by the lights.
No, like, yeah, he's put in all the work for the game. So now is that small window of period where he gets to soak in all the attention and the
he gets to reap all the benefits.
Yeah, and I'm so glad it happened. He seems like such an awesome dude. Like, I would have a beer with that guy.
Absolutely,
a German or a American beer. What are we talking here? Or a Mexican beer, Tecate.
But let's talk about other games. We got a lot of stuff.
I'll beer tastes like urine.
What do we got?
We've
what
been
we
talking
got?
About the drought a lot, right?
We just ruined his whole.
I know, right?
Thanks, Aaron. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I ruin your concentration?
Yeah.
No, we usually.
That was the most white version. Like, you delivered it.
Hey, guys.
Like, might as well have been Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to try that, actually. Go ahead.
We've talked about the drought. The drought is real.
The drizzle.
Is it over? Because right now I'm looking at my Xbox One and I have too many games to play.
I thought you were literally talking about the drought in California with water. Wow. I'm not going to lie. I was like, it just rained the other day.
No.
I think we're a little bit better.
I think the drought's over.
Do you think the drought's over? So you're calling Sunset, Call of Duty,
Halo.
Evolve
Big Alpha.
Wait. Halo.
Halo comes out next week.
Yeah, that's not
that
out,
Masters
though.
Collection crap?
Yeah.
No, and Masters. I wouldn't.
No, that's the same shit stains
no,
that bought it the first time are going to buy it again.
The Halo, I call that a puddle.
We got Assassins coming out real soon. We got, what's the other one?
Once
Far Cry 4.
Dragon Age is coming
Dragon
soon.
Age.
Once November is over, then you could be like, yes, the drought is over.
I think it's trickling in right now.
Like, it's drizzled. I just said that.
I don't know, because usually when the big releases come out, it's around holiday. And since that's what the time
it's
of
November.
The year is.
But last holiday was garbage, right?
So the good
it was very
stuff
garbage.
Comes out.
It was very garbage last holiday. But this, we went over the show last weekend bang? Or 2 weekend bangs ago, where
know,
we talked about
the
upcoming
about
game.
All the games
yeah,
out, but
it's
like,
November.
I didn't realize it was. Yeah, but I don't pay attention to the show.
So wow. We had to wait a whole year for good games to drop
yes.
on these new systems.
Yes.
Can we say Grand Theft Auto might have been the last like great game?
Yes.
Yeah. And now it's gonna raise.
And that was how many years ago?
Stuff. That was about a year or two.
And then
year and a half.
The other thing that people should be as upset about: bank heists. Where are they?
We never got them.
Not a
gonna
one.
Not gonna happen.
That's so bad because they kept saying it was. Oh, yeah. We're working on it. Never happened.
You know, that's one of the these things happen in our industry. And
do they?
They shouldn't.
We need to take a stand against this type of crap.
Well, maybe they're going to save it for the next gen. And you know what? I haven't heard any announcements yet, but like, I know on the PC, if you bought the Sleeping Dogs old version, you got a discount, like a pretty heavy discount on the remake that they just, the definitive edition. And that brings up another thing. Are you going to buy the next GTA? Are you going to get it on the PC? Or are you going to get on the, wait till you get a next gen console?
I'll wait till I get a next gen. I won't buy that on the PC.
But if you get on the PC, you get access to all the mods.
Yeah, mods have never...
on GTA?
I got excited for mods when I had Fallout Vegas, but I have not downloaded one mod.
You want your full first-person prostitute experience? That mod will be day one.
Yeah, most likely. Like, full-blown...
it's already
blown,
in development. It's done.
Full-blown hot coffee, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hot coffee. Mm-hmm. And remember how much of a thing that was?
That was huge. That was huge. Because we had to take back games for the PS2 that had, like... that didn't have the red strip on the top of the Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
because anyone that didn't
if it
have it.
Greatest Hits.
Yeah, if
second
it wasn't
edition.
Greatest Hits or Second Edition, they can mod it to make it the hot coffee mod on that one. So
wow. We
couldn't trade those in. They were AO, rated AO.
Wow, and then this stuff happens all the time. Like
Grand Theft Auto 5, isn't there just full blown naked chick?
They have a full blown. This is. And
you can do this in Skyrim.
Yeah, I was going to say, in Skyrim, they have a full blown, like, it's terrible, mind you. I don't condone it whatsoever. They have a full blown, like, rape mod.
What?
In there.
Really?
Yeah.
In Skyrim?
In Skyrim. It's so terrible.
I didn't see the rape mod. That's disgusting. But there was another one that was just like some like sex RPG thing where you can talk to a girl. And it was like those old, remember those Flash games? That were on,
oh,
like, on the adult
where you pick choices and stuff
of,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
It was kind of like that. And
take
then,
her for a horse ride real quick.
Yeah.
See if she enjoyed it, come back, do the conversation again.
Show her your dragon bone.
Go by. Wow. Terrible.
But.
Does he yell during?
Yeah.
He shouts at her.
That's a different shout.
You killed her. That's terrible. Where is this show gone?
Fan-made Pokemon game is more exciting than the real thing. Pokemon Insurgents might not be an official Pokemon game, but that does not make it less exciting. The reason? Features. Glorious features.
That is correct, sir.
Where is this available?
It's not available yet.
Not yet.
I think he PC, wants to right? release it. Yeah, I think it's going to be a PC, and he wants to release it sometime in the next month.
Ooh.
Now, see, this is the thing. The only reason why, you know, I was like, yeah, this is a good one that Gondo showed us.
I'll give him credit.
Wow. Yeah, Gondo, he's up on his he's up on his game. I really appreciate indie people taking games that are established and be like, hey, I can probably
make it better.
You know, make it a little better. They're not always correct. You know, I've seen some stinkers out there. Somebody with like a Mega Man game where they're like, hey, I want to add rocket boosters and jumps and all that. Nah.
We recently just saw some awesome mod for Streets of Rage.
Yeah. They took that game and they mashed all the Streets of Rage together.
Like everybody played.
Yeah. And then level design.
Which is pretty
much what this is doing. Yeah. So it's beast. Now, there's some bad ones out there. Top down Tetris.
Oh, yeah.
That's
going to be a winner.
That's a terrible one
there. That's going to be a winner.
Because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
That's the beauty of it.
All the blocks look the same.
You have to use shading to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you can do that if you top down.
You have to use the shadows.
If there's one thing I've learned about the gaming community, if you give people the options, they will surprise you.
I would love to see that.
A first-person Tetris.
First
where
person.
You are the block as it's falling.
Wow. That would be interesting, and it would probably get one play, and that'd be it.
Terrible. Let's see. Insurgents mashes together many of the cool features we've come to love over the years, like customization, mega evolutions, Pokemon following you are all over the map, secret bases, things you need to buy, 3 separate Pokemon games to experience under the normal circumstances. Insurgents also adds the quirks of its own. The story, for example, seems darker than your average Pokemon game. It's about cultists, and more excitingly, the game features built-in challenges that make your playthrough more interesting. Always wanted to do a Nuzlocke run? What is that, Aaron?
That's the run...
When your Pokemon dies, you have to release it? Is that the one?
I think that's the run Han Solo did in
in
the Kessel Run.
That's the Kessel Run.
Ah,
and how many parsecs?
I don't know, 4.
Yeah. 1.2 something.
I have no idea what the Nuzzle Lock Run is.
I think that might be it. And there's a lot of interesting things people do because people get bored, obviously, and especially with Pokemon, they get bored because that's all they do. So there's interesting runs where, like, you in the newer ones, you do Wonder Trade.
Uh-huh.
You go out there and catch whatever Pokemon and then do a Wonder Trade, and then that's your crew you have to run for the entire game, all the way to the Elite Four.
Wow.
You have no idea what you're going to get, but those are the ones you see.
So you end up with 5 Rattatas or something like that, and then you just, wow. Yep.
And then the hardcores do it. I mean, that sounds fun.
Can you evolve them?
I don't see why not. I'll allow
it. I imagine you could, yeah.
This one also, it adds armor, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, there's a bunch of new stuff that they put into
You can add armor to your Pokemon. Isn't that kind of cheating?
Well, it just boosts their health by a percentage or whatever.
Does it change their stats?
I would think so.
It adds a whole new level of complexity, as long as your opponents can do it too. I mean, that's cool.
I wouldn't doubt it going that way in the normal game, because in this, was it Sapphire and Ruby is what I'm just going to call it.
Crimson and Clover.
You can put clothes on Pikachu.
Clothes?
Yeah, you can dress your Pikachu up. I don't know if it's just Pikachu.
Is
that's
that like a
screenshot
beauty contest kind of thing?
No. Then they'll just
would
be
it
like
change
that during
stats?
Battle. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, if you tweak that idea, start putting...
Put horse armor on
horse
them.
Horse armor.
Charge, charge $10 each time.
Wow. So, yeah, Nuzlocke Run does mean if your Pokemon faints, you have to release them.
Release them or just kill them?
Release him into
it's
the
like
wild.
A broken leg thing.
Oh, Yeller.
So,
sorry, boy.
So there's going to be like Pokemon corpses everywhere from people whose Pokemon have died.
Lots of tourists meet.
Especially in the tall grass of the first city.
Exactly. You tripped over a dead Pokemon.
What happens if your Pokemon dies like right in the beginning?
That would suck.
That would be very...
You can't catch it.
Restart.
Do you see the picture there on there? It shows all the different types. Randomizer, PP challenge, eggs challenge, solo run, mystery challenge, non-technical challenge.
Bravery challenge. There's a lot of cool stuff. The game also adds its own mega evolution, so they're going to go beyond... Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
That's an extremely great idea. I don't even... I just thought everything had a mega evolution.
No.
And that's what... When I heard it didn't, I was like, that's just stupid. Everything should have a mega evolution.
So, I don't know. What do you guys feel? How do you guys feel about this? Is this something... Is he going to be charging for this? Because I don't think he can.
No. Yeah. I don't think he can. I think he's just going to put it out there because Nintendo would sue the crap out of him.
Will Aaron Carter be downloading this?
I might give it a go just to see what the Nuzzle Run is.
After all the PokeCraft that we played, I am actually interested in this.
Yeah, we played a lot of PokeCraft.
Steven, does this get you excited?
It's interesting. I want to see the differences in the... Like, I've never done Nuzzle Lock.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, I mean, that... Like, I would try it in this game, not the actual
game. Like, there's nothing to lose
here. Yeah. So, I mean, because I work hard on my DS version of my game.
And that might be because, like, in the DS version, like, you only have YOLO. Like, they still stuck to that thing where you can have one save file per game. So, if you screw up that save file, you got to start all over again. Like, if you let go of a Pokemon, it's more of a big deal. For people like me, because I don't have, like, 8 versions of the game to...
I remember when I had a Game Boy... I bought the memory pack that you plug the game into so you could actually save your file and then go and restart the game.
Wow.
Oh, dang.
Wow, that's hardcore, everybody.
I remember David and I choreographing which one we were going to get. It was more David just getting one and then me being like, all right, I guess that means I get the extra one, the other one. We had gold and silver, and that was fun times. We're going to move on to Bang Bites, everybody. Wow.
Cue the Bang Bite theme song.
Be excited about it.
There's still no theme song. I've been gone for...
Chomp, 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 chomp.
Kyle McGuire moved away, man. That well is run dry.
He said that dry is run well.
I thought you were going to go dry hump.
EA terminates development of MOBA Dawngate. Service ends in 90 days.
So that means if you really liked Dawngate...
You need to find a new MOBA.
Yeah, too bad! That sucks, too, because that game just came out. Like, it's not... crazy old or anything like that. That just means EA was like, yeah, this was a bad idea.
What was the gimmick behind Nongi? No, that was the one that was supposed to be very...
That's supposed to revolutionize... Or, you know how they're like, they're second gen MOBAs? Like, yeah, oh, yeah, there's first gen and this is...
More like destructible things and like, wasn't there more interaction?
I just remember a developer diary saying that we're second gen MOBAs and we're going to, you know, show you that you don't have to just have three lanes and be, you know...
Apparently you do.
Yeah, it's like... I was like, okay, we'll see what you guys got.
The lanes change as they go.
Yeah. Now there's seven lanes. And what do you do?
And there's a marriage mechanic.
Wow. Get married mid-game.
So that's terrible. Yeah,
and
this
dog.
This is disgusting.
And dogs,
and
wow.
For EA to terminate it so quickly, you know it must have been a stinker.
It's tough to compete in that market, though.
It is tough.
Even for the big boys. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, and that's awesome in a way. It's like just showing that you can't just throw your money around and make a great one. So I wonder if Blizzard's like worried.
Nah, because Blizzard, if they want Blizzard to scrap something, they'll the scrap though. It.
EA doesn't have a name?
Yeah, I didn't know EA had anything on Don.
Not for, I don't think for PC,
like,
though.
The Blizzard one uses their franchises that they have established.
So they're banking on that.
Yeah, they're banking on the skins.
So if Dongate used, like, Madden skins.
Warrior comes out?
And he just comes out and throws footballs
on
in
a
the
bus.
Range. Yeah. That's his ult. So, yeah. Then maybe, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm, well... The big boys have to go home and just make a bunch of shitload more money on Call of Duty now.
Yep.
That's Activision.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Battlefield. Oh, which is also doing fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Next Bang Bite. Dragon Age Inquisition available November 13th for EA Access members.
You get it early.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many days?
What was it, 18th on the...
Yeah,
the previous story.
November 18th.
So, FIVA.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you get a
that's
week.
That's pretty legit.
I'll wait 3 days.
But again, that's kind of one of the curses of being a single player game because it doesn't really matter.
See what I mean?
But it has the multiplayer mode that we just talked about.
Yeah, but what if your friends don't have EA access?
Yeah, then you're kind of screwed.
Then you just
get to enjoy your single player.
And you just circle jerking it by yourself.
Wow.
As you probably are if you're playing a Dragon Age game.
David.
That's a Dragon Age game? Really?
Shots fired. Attacking the people.
Attacking the people that play Dragon Age, apparently.
Hashtag David just turned heel.
When I play games like that, I like purposely like don't party up with you guys because I don't want to hear your idle chit chat.
Wow.
Whoa. Idle chit chat. Look at this guy on his fucking high horse.
Damn.
Oh, man, he doesn't want to hear us muggles speaking.
I can understand that, though, because you want to get enthralled in the game and the story.
Yeah, Aaron
and
does
stuff.
Chew obnoxiously.
I like to get my rads up.
God, if I recorded that, it would be a soundboard. Corey would freaking use it so much that everybody would commit suicide.
I did the voice for Fallout whenever you eat food.
Oh, speaking of Fallout, the next Bang Bite, the Fallout Shadow of Boston trademark is a fake.
Is a fake. Everybody, now it's always been conspiracized.
The next one will take place in Boston.
Yeah, everybody wants it to be in Boston for some strange reason. Well, I guess there's a lot of references in the game towards Boston, you know.
We're not going
to
get a Fallout New Sacramento?
I would love it. I would love it.
We would be the only ones playing it.
We would be the only ones playing it.
Wiped out by the nuke.
Yeah.
It'd just be Fallout Crater.
Yeah,
Sacramento used to be here.
People that follow trademarks and stuff and always searching for little things. There was someone that registered a Fallout, what was it called exactly? Shadow of Boston. And it was registered to America, and in the first language was English, and it was video game, disc-based game. And
first of all,
again,
Shadow of Boston is a stupid name for a Fallout game. That's just so stupid.
Just go Fallout 4. Done.
I like if they keep with the just naming them after whatever city they're in, that's fine. Fallout 3, boom. Fallout New Vegas, boom. I know where it's at.
Fallout 4 Boston.
Yeah.
Boom.
You know, bombed Boston or something like that.
Whoa, too soon.
What? I didn't even put those together.
I was
talking about the war from Fallout Inside.
Fallout Boston Tea Party.
I love you, Boston.
As someone who looks remarkably similar to Handsome Jack in the upcoming Borderlands pre-sequel DLC.
Won't be Handsome Jack, though.
It won't be.
No. Will he just be wearing the mask of Handsome Jack?
Something like that.
I thought I read something that you played three of them.
Yeah, it's like a triplet thing, clones.
They were clones.
Like which I don't understand. Just give us Handsome Jack. It's his story, right?
Yeah, and...
He's in it, yeah.
He's
like
be,
Roland, though.
He's a hilarious character.
Don't you dare bring up Roland.
Too soon. Bring up another
Roland. That's
soon.
Yeah,
it hasn't
that's
happened
definitely.
Yet, though. It's the pre-sequel, guys.
Nah. But he's not in the game, is he? Like, playable?
No.
Because you're playing as the bad guys. That's this one's gimmick.
Maybe Roland... Well, Roland's backstory. He was a part of the...
Crimson Lance.
The Crimson Lance before.
I was going to say Crimson Alliance.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian game publisher Profits Soar.
That game has made so much money.
Corey.
It is ridiculous.
Stop spending money. The bet between right. you and Aaron is over.
I just can't help it.
That game, it's unbelievable how much that game is actually made. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, it caters to a very specific,
You can't even call it
to market.
You can't. Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't even. It's hard to say specific because that's kind of just narrowing it down when there's like over 10 million downloaded of this stupid game. When you go to the marketplace and see how many people have downloaded this,
it is astronomical.
And I bet you anything because they do have like actual game mechanics in there, right?
Well, we didn't finish the second part of the story, right? It was game publisher profits soar after video game bang Kim Kardashian challenge.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, they actually have good game mechanics somewhat in it. Or
it's
like
a game.
The idea. Yeah,
it's
a game.
It's a game.
So I don't think these casual gamers have ever been exposed to that stuff. So when they see it, they're like, these new features. Oh my gosh.
Decision making.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I've always wanted a Kim Kardashian game where I can make decisions.
Yeah. I'm going to let Kim in the store. That's what I'm going to do.
I think she should wear the black dress as opposed to the
I'm lost, Gondo. Are you?
I have no idea what's going on.
Dynasty Warriors 8 Empires brings tactical hack and slash to the next gen next year. Awesome. Mm. Ubisoft expects Far Cry 4 to sell 6 million in the first year.
And it probably will.
The Crew, only 2 million.
I know. We're not so enthusiastic about that game.
it's a racing game.
Yeah, but still, it's your game. You're going to be like, oh, this game's going to sell 6 million.
You need mom goggles. It's going to be.
And it's a new IP. It's new.
2 million's not bad.
Yeah, it's still. I mean, that's a goal. Far Cry is an established franchise.
The Crew ain't.
The Crew?
It's not.
It's not. It is the Crew.
Far Cry
right?
3 freaking did amazing.
Amazeballs.
Alone in the Dark Illumination pre-orders go live with bonus content and a discount.
They're still making Alone in the Dark games?
Yeah. Okay, and now they're discounting it if you pre-order it.
Because they know the game's going to be bad.
It's only going to sell 2 million.
Yeah, no. You can now broadcast party chat via PlayStation 4 Share.
So now you get everybody's voice in there.
It's the last thing you need to spread everyone's hate speech and racism.
Yeah.
But if you're Gondo and you want to be a dick and ignore it.
Yeah. If you want to hear our futile chatting, is that what you said?
Futile. Well, impotent. He's like, I don't care. It was so
impotent chatter.
It was so unimportant that it doesn't matter anymore.
That's something. I'm offended. We're going to talk about this one. Well, thank you guys all for listening to the show. I want to extend a special thank you to Boris Sao-Chow for spending some time with us talking about Sunset Overdrive. Check out the music. It's awesome. And stick around after this portion, after the little Let Me Bang Bro, because we have an extended interview with Boris that you probably want to check out. See you next week.
Let me bang, man.
I do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
What are you doing,
man? I let you bang.
Let me bang again.
Let me bang.
Let
you bang.
Now go fuck yourselves.
So what's next, you guys? You guys usually edit that stuff, or is it like one big?
I usually just throw it in the middle of an episode. We record on Wednesdays, and I just kind of superimpose it into the middle.
Yeah.
Have you been doing a lot of these shows and interviews?
A few, yes.
What's the consensus?
Hold on. The last one I did was a German one, which you will not understand. But that was video, which is a whole different.
Oh, they put you on video.
That's a whole different beast because then you need suddenly need lighting and all that and a good camera and that kind of stuff. It was also Skype. It was Sky, but video. Yeah, but that was a German thing. No. And then the audio podcast. Oh gosh, it's been a while. The Sunset stuff is just starting. So you guys are the first, definitely, in at least a year or two.
Wow.
And then I would do right now. Like you guys know Greg O'Connor Reed, right? The IPR guy.
Yeah, his people talks to our people.
I actually right. I like that. So he's usually like connecting the dots with all this stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Funny enough, I do like a bunch of like written interviews a lot this time too. You know,
I've noticed it's like a struggle for composers because like a lot of the composers I talk to do like amazing work and they're in the top tier of AAA titles. But then when you go to like their SoundClouds or their Facebooks and their Twitters, they're not as popular as you'd assume they'd be.
No,
is that changing?
If you go to me, that's also like, you know, I'm happy if I get my like 100, 200, whatever likes on a post or so. And then I just saw on talking about Sunset Overdrive, a friend sent me this link of the wife of Ice-T, you know, the rapper guy.
Yeah, Coco.
Coco, exactly. So she went, apparently, like Ice-T and Coco were at the launch party of Sunset Overdrive in New York. And she posted a photo of herself, like, playing. And she got 45,000 likes within an hour.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm like, you know what? All these composers can just go bye-bye compared to those numbers.
Did you get to meet Ice-T or anything?
I wasn't there. That wasn't that was the New York one.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, but I don't know. To be honest, like I'm also with both my Facebook and SoundCloud. I'm on and off, but then like the last 6 months for me were like insanely busy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? I don't put stuff on it. Yeah. And even the person here helping me on stuff, where I'm like, okay, you're here, just remember to put stuff on SoundCloud every like couple of weeks. When we go into these like nuts crunch cycles or so, it's just like nothing happens.
Yeah.
And I think that's I'm pretty sure that Coco and Ice-T and those guys, you know, they have a whole staff set of like five people dealing with social media. That's my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably right.
So because, you know, I always have the best intentions and then some job comes in and then nothing happens.
Yeah. Do you find it slowly turning around, though? Do you think that composers are starting to finally get a little more credit in areas like that?
I think so. But also, you know, it's also kind of slow moving compared to, you know, if you compare composers to actors or let's say any kind of celebrity or so, I think composers have a much more slow moving life. You know, usually we work on, you know, there were games that I worked on for 2 years.
Wow.
So then I have a game and a movie. So in 2 years, all the news is like two new projects or so. Whereas if you're Coco, and every 5 days you're on a fun social event and you have like gazillions of photos of you, it's just like a lot more happening, right?
Yeah.
So I think with composers, it's just a little, you know, slower. Plus, they are all introverted guys, anyhow.
I was going to say, do you all meet up at some place and all discuss these kind of things? Do you have any other big composer buddies?
Yes, I know a bunch, of course. And yeah, but I don't know them all, but I know some, of course.
But do you guys like get together and bounce ideas? And how? Like, I'm always fascinated because I know, like, in the band world, for example, like,
yeah.
You know that how it's a whole different dynamic. People are haters, you know. They're always comparing each other, and there's, you know, egos and stuff.
Since we're not recording this anymore, you have similar aspects in the composer world too. But it's always healthy to, you know, you need to have other guys that do the same thing that you do, and you have to meet for a beer, and you know, ask them how they solve that problem. It's like whatever you do in life, you need people who do the same to exchange ideas. I mean, it's kind of important. And then, you know, some composers, even like whatever, rent big studio, like a bunch of studios in a big building together or so to bounce ideas or so. I do that more. I set up a website once for me and other composer friends of mine so we can bounce our ideas.
I always like to ask the composers too, and I forgot to ask you on the show if you can get a dream job like from an existing franchise or IP, do you have one in your head that you're like, man, I wish they would just call every day I look at my phone and try and get a missed call from Skywalker or something.
I think for me personally it's not a specific person or production thing. It's probably for me it would be more, you know, there have been a bunch of TV series, honestly, in the last year that were just stylistically super interesting to me, like the True Detective from HBO.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved the show and the music. Well, that was one of those examples where like, guys, I would love to do that because I think I could have done it better. I mean, T-Bone Burnett did it. He's an insanely awesome guy. He's like a semi-god. But just on that specific one, it was a little so-so. But I personally, but you know, like that's the other thing with composers. One thing is what they, you know, the jobs they do. But the other thing is what's their personal, in a perfect world, what's their personal taste or so. Yeah, and my personal taste is actually really, I just like dark, moody, weird stuff. Yeah. You know, not so much. I mean, horror is fine too. That's why it's kind of the next neighbor to that. So I'm fine doing that too. But just the weird thing. I'm a David Lynch fan and love that kind of stuff. So, for example, that if those guys would call me for the upcoming season now of True Detective, that would be a dream job.
Would they have to pay you?
I'd do that one for free one time. One season for free.
First one's free.